This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com. Mesh and light, I'll stop the world and melt with you. You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time.
It's an honor to welcome back to this program investigative reporter Dan Olmsted. He's the founder and editor of theageofautism.com. It's the daily web newspaper of the autism epidemic and the go-to place on the internet if you want the very latest about the science, the politics, and the stories of autism. Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Coy. How about you?
Very good. Having a good summer. I got a new dog, and I'm dealing with 100 pounds of love.
And wow.
Slobbering.
That's a big dog.
And, yeah, he's a Chesapeake Bay Retriever named Buddy. I inherited him from my sister and couldn't be happier. He's the best new friend of the family.
Well, I had two dogs until just recently, and as soon as I get over them, I'm going to get another one. So
there you go. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't know anything about Chesapeake Bay Retrievers until I got this dog, and what a great dog. It's the perfect dog. It's just wonderful. He's really great.
Terrific.
So where should we start, Dan? There was some hearings last week?
A couple of members of the autism advocacy community, I guess you'd say, David Kirby, who wrote Evidence of Harm.
He was just on this program a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I listened to the podcast of that. I thought it was superb. And Mark Blaxel, who is a parent of a daughter with autism and very savvy about sort of looking at what the government says and doing his own math and figuring things out. And they briefed the congressional staff, basically, but one representative, Chris Smith of New Jersey, came for the whole thing and spoke up and basically said he thought that the presentations were so good that they should have a formal hearing with the House Energy and Commerce Committee and listen to the facts, basically, about how quickly, autism cases are rising and about how many questions there still are about what's going on here and, you know, how likely it is that something in the environment is involved because, we just have so many more cases than we used to, and I think the idea that we're just doing better diagnosis has been pretty well cast aside. So it was very good. It was a very useful hearing. There's some stuff on it on our website if people want to check it out, and a podcast at Autism One Radio. So
good stuff. We're talking with Dan Olmsted of theageofautism.com. And Dan, for the folks who are just joining us and are, just sort of clueless about this, since the late 80s, early 90s, autism rates in America have gone up over 1,000%. And the government and mainstream doctors have been saying, for years at first, well, that's not really going up. And then they would say, well, it's a genetic thing. It's just a genetic epidemic. And
right.
Then they would say, well, it's not just a genetic epidemic, which is, there's no such thing. Hello. They would say, well, maybe we're just so good at what we do. We're seeing more cases and we've changed the diagnostics. So we're just including more people in this autism umbrella than we did before. But even that can't account for it. And so finally, it looks like the government and doctors are realizing, well, wait a minute, maybe these kids are getting sick because of something in their environment. Hello.
Yeah, and one point that people forget is that the last statistics we have are for kids born in 1994, which is where we get this 1 in 150 figure with an autism spectrum diagnosis. And you go to a state like New Jersey, and you get, 1 in 99 have autism, and that's 1 in 60 boys. And it appears that the CDC has more recent figures and that they're just sitting on them. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, they've had plenty of time to compile them. I would imagine that they're worse or we'd be hearing about them. And also, one thing that we've been sort of hearing whispers of is that the autism rate in the military has been compiled, and it is astronomical, and that those numbers are going to be coming out before too long and are going to shock people severely. And, of course, in the military, you get a lot of people moving back and forth overseas and a lot of vaccinations and a lot of parents getting, all kinds of medical things. And so it possibly could point to some aspect of vaccines or that sort of thing is implicated here.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted, founder and editor of theageofautism.com. It's the daily web newspaper of the autism epidemic. Dan, what was the message that David and Mark were sharing last week that resonated so profoundly with the folks on the Hill?
Well, basically, a couple of things. One is that this Combating Autism Act that was passed a couple of years ago, nearly $1 billion for research and treatment protocols and that sort of thing, is really kind of stuck in a bureaucratic maze. There's a lot of committees that are divvying up parts of it, and there's a lot of parents and sort of biomedical advocates who feel like they're not being listened to. There was all kinds of crazy procedural stuff that seems to prevent studying some of these issues. That's one thing. And then there's like three bills in the House of Representatives that, if they passed, would make a huge difference. One would be to take mercury out of all medical products. One would be to study vaccinated versus unvaccinated populations. And one would be to take the vaccine safety research monitoring out of the CDC, which is the agency, after all, that promotes and mandates the vaccine schedule. So, I mean, it's a little bit like American Airlines being in charge of investigating airline crashes. It's a bad idea, and I think there's a move towards getting that done, but the other two bills, I think, are stalled because, you know, there's this feeling that the medical community thinks that this issue is settled, and there's no reason to keep asking and answered questions, they put it. But I think, as Chris Smith was saying, you know, there's more and more concern that something's going on, that we don't really have mercury out of vaccines. You know, it's in the flu shot, which more and more pregnant women are getting, and in kids now as young as 6 months. And so it's a very much under the surface a boiling.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted of theageofautism.com. And Dan, before we let you go today, I want to explore each of those three pieces of legislation.
Sure.
That's now before Congress. But let me say very quickly, as far as that last one's concerned, doing research, it has always struck me as derelict in their responsibilities for medical doctors who are scientists, practitioners of medicine, to be opposed to research. That,
yeah,
that always strikes me as, at its core, as like, that is the red alarms and the red flags should go up. Like, there's something wrong when medical doctors and people who do research are saying, no, let's not do that research. We don't want any science done. Don't do the science. Don't do the research. There's something wrong when that's happening.
And you know who agrees with you and me on that is Bernardine Healy, the former head of the National Institutes of Health and the Red Cross, who's become really quite outspoken. She's now a U.S. News health editor, and they have really been very strong in saying you can't say these questions have been answered yet. You can't turn away from the research because of what you're afraid you're going to find. And, we need to make sure that we have a safe vaccine program. And so, you know, it's not just a couple of pikers like you and me who think this. It's,
right.
It's some people with some real heft who are starting to question this situation.
We're honored to be talking with Dan Olmsted of theageofautism.com. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. David waiting patiently on line two. David, you're on with Dan Olmsted. You go right ahead.
Yes, guys, good afternoon. My question is, and I've just turned it on, is I've always wondered, why is there mercury in vaccines anyway? There's got to be a reason, and I've never, I guess I've never researched it to know why, so I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
What a great question.
Yeah.
David, thank you, and you asked the right guy, because Dan Olmsted is the nation's leading reporter who answered that question and explained it so beautifully. And Dan, feel free to take as much time as you want and explain this to folks. What the heck is a poison doing in our vaccines in the first place?
Well, it's in there because it is a poison, and it is supposed to kill unwanted microbes that could get into the vaccine in a multiple dose vaccine where you're sticking a needle in and out, and if it's exposed to the air, you could get a staph infection in there, and the staph infection could then kill a child who was getting a vaccine. So it's used basically to make sure that the vaccine stays antiseptic, I guess you'd say. The issue is that, you know, you're playing with fire because by its very nature, mercury is so toxic. And so, you know, the line has always been, well, it does a very good job of killing the things we want it to kill, but it is totally harmless in terms of its effect on, you know, the brain of an infant or a fetus or that sort of thing. And you know, I think there's some science that suggests that's not true, that it's toxic, period, that we should be using different preservatives, or we should be going to single-dose vials, which, you know, don't have that risk of contamination, because this kind of mercury, ethyl mercury, which is an organic compound that was first used in the early 30s, which is when autism was first diagnosed, not coincidentally, has just... would never be approved today because it's just so dangerous. And so,
and that's a good point. Folks need to understand that this kind of, when we say there's mercury in vaccines, it's ethyl mercury, which is different from methyl with an M, methyl mercury, which is the dangerous stuff in fish. Ethyl mercury with an E is infinitely more dangerous than methyl mercury with an M, and that's what's in the fish that we tell pregnant women not to eat.
That's right. There was a study by Thomas Burbacher out at the University of Washington that showed that ethyl mercury is much more likely to get trapped in the brain than methyl. And methyl clearly causes, you know, cognitive and developmental and neurological problems in fetuses. So it's...
And the logic that folks like you and I saw when we said, well, maybe vaccines are implicated here, is that beginning in the 80s, they, thanks to lobbying on the part of the pharmaceutical industry, they stepped up the number of vaccines that kids received and shots from, like, what was it, about 8 to over, you know, 20.
Right.
And so that increased the amount of the total mercury load that was going into babies, infants, and little kids. And then all of a sudden, right after they did that, not coincidentally, you see an explosion in the autism rates in America.
And, you know, I think a confirmation of that is something that I've done working with Mark Blaxall on a book that we just actually submitted last week to our publisher, which sort of traces the natural history of autism. And as I mentioned, the first cases were discovered in the 1930s. That's exactly when they started using ethyl mercury in fungicides, in a lumbar treatment, and in vaccines. And in those early cases, we've traced connections in those families to all of those backgrounds. It's really quite, I think, quite powerful indictment that the age of autism began with the commercialization of this ethyl mercury, and then when its use exploded, autism exploded. It's actually not that hard to figure out. It's pretty obvious. That every single case of autism is caused by an ethyl mercury component of a vaccine. There are some kids who, you know, aren't vaccinated who get autism, and there may be other vaccine components that are implicated. But, you know, there's mercury coming out of coal-fired power plants, and there's all these, you know, pesticides that we know are not thoroughly tested. So we've created a toxic stew, and we need to figure that out. But in the meantime, I think, you know, as this congressional legislation suggests, we should get this mercury out of medical products would be a nice, clean start.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. For the first time in history, we're marinating our children in crap.
Yeah.
In the air, in the food. I mean, it's not rocket science, folks. The air and the water and the food is full of crap and junk and heavy metals like never before in the history of humanity. And then we shouldn't be surprised when we see whole generations of children now, 1 in 60 boys, has a developmental disorder, is very sick, like my little boy, for the rest of his life. And we call it autism, but, you know, he's poisoned. I mean, that's basically what it gets down to. We have poisoned our children, and we are responsible as a nation, as a community of people here. And it's amazing to me, and it angers me, when we see our government, right and left, doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're talking about, and when we see scientists and folks in the medical community who drag their feet and sit on their hands and look the other way. because they're terrified at what they might find if they actually do some of this research.
That's right. And again, you know, I think your marinating phrase is a very memorable one. You know, the studies have recently shown that kids who grow up closer to power plants, which are fueled by coal, which have mercury and arsenic and lead and all kinds of toxins in them, have a much higher autism rate. And so, you know, we see it all over the place. This is not just, you know, one random study by some kook. I mean, there's multiple converging lines of evidence that point directly to toxins and especially heavy metals, and in particular mercury, which everybody knows is one of the most neurotoxic substances in the universe.
Yeah. And so, one of the smartest first steps we can do is to get rid of these bolus, that's the name of it, the bolus vaccines, which are these big tubes that hold up to 10 vaccines. And we need to go to single-dose vaccines, which they don't require a preservative. You just got a little dose of vaccine in it. You use it and throw it away.
Yeah, it's worth a slightly greater expense when you think of the cost that autism is imposing, not just financially, but emotionally and in terms of people's lives. It's quite a devastating situation.
Dan Olmsted is the founder and editor of theageofautism.com, the daily web newspaper of the autism epidemic, and the co-author of an upcoming book about the history of autism here in America. And we'll look forward to that. And Dan, we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Always a pleasure, Coy.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.